I found something out. Nobody is truly independent. Nobody. In order for this nation to be the independent nation we like to think we are, we were dependent on Spain and France. Without their assistance, we never beat the British. We walk around as successful men and women because we depend on God and His guidance and direction. Without it, where would we be? So nobody is independent. We need to understand that we're totally dependent on God and act like that. Then everything else that's ailing us will go away. It'll just go away. Because God's got to do everything that He said He would do. Period. And see, He gave us what I call, if you need a title, it's called the perfect equation. Because I know it's healing class, but those of you that know me, know that I don't just pick out scriptures and say these scriptures are for this and these scriptures are for that. The whole counsel of God is available for everything that we need. And we need to learn how to apply it in every area. I check. I have a lot of Bibles at home. And I haven't found any scriptures that said these are healing scriptures, these are prosperity scriptures, these are child... No, I see the Word, and I found out that when you apply the principles of the Word to any situation, it works. It works. So you may not hear a lot of healing scriptures per se in what God wants me to share with you tonight, but understand the principles, because when you apply the principles, they work. Every single time. So let's start out with Jeremiah 29. This is verse 11, and I'm in the Message Bible. Message Bible starts at verse 10. It says, this is God's word on the subject. As soon as Babylon's 70 years are up, and not a day before, I'll show up and take care of you as I promised and bring you back home. Now listen to what God's saying. I know what I'm doing. I have it all planned out. Plans to take care of you, not abandon you. Plans to give you the future that you'd hope for. So who's the one that has plans for us? And think about what he said concerning his plans. He said, they're plans to take care of you. Now let's pause there for a minute. If God said, I have plans for you, and my plans are to take care of you, what does that include?
Everything.
Is there anything left out? No. So that means if we let God do what he said he was doing, we'd be fine. All the time, we'd be fine. He says, according to talking about his plans, they're not to abandon you. They are plans to give you the future you've hoped for. So when I read that, questions came in my head. How many of us are hoping for sickness as part of, or poverty or disaster as part of our future? Well, God said that he would give us the future that we hope for. So since that future that we are hoping for does not include sickness and disease and distress and calamity and all of that stuff, why are we tolerating it? That's the question. Why are we allowing it? The one that has the plans for us said that his plans are for our good, to give us a future that we want. And since no one is hoping for sickness, then we have to look at and see, okay, where's the disconnect? Because there has to be a disconnect. Because God said, again, concerning his plans, and you'll find them all throughout the Bible. We're only going to talk about a couple today. But in Isaiah 53, and this isn't new, we're all familiar with it. He said, talking about Jesus, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Then I see a period next to it. And it's important to understand that there is a period next to it. It's not an unless or except. You know, with his stripes we are healed. Some translations say we were healed. And that's fine, because as Pastor Clinton, you'd say, if we were healed, we are healed. And if we are healed, we were healed. Okay. But now, listen to Exodus 15. This may start giving you some clues to where we're going. If thou wilt diligently, not every now and then, not when it's convenient, but if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God and will do that which is right in whose sight? His sight. And will give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. And I don't want you to get twisted up, because he said, I will put none of these diseases. You research that in the original writing. It means I will not allow any of these things to happen to you. The things that I had to allow to happen to the Egyptians, I'm not going to allow them to happen to you. If you hearken diligently to his voice, you do that which is right in his sight, and you give ear to his commandments. That means you listen to what he's saying. You do what he tells you to do. That's not a means of control. It's not a means of punishing anyone for doing it. But if you do what God commands you to do, then you know it's going to be absolutely right. And it's going to work. And God is saying, these great things will happen to you if you do what I tell you to do, because what I tell you to do works best for you. If you go with what you want to do, well, you may get some skewed results. But the only way to get what God wants us to have is to do exactly what he says. Period. We can't keep changing up. He said, I am the Lord that healeth thee. And remember, he's not confused. He said, I have the plans. I know what I'm doing. I got this. You know, I like some of the judge programs. And one I didn't like at first, but I grew to like Boss Ross. You know, because he's always saying, I got this. Okay. I don't need your help. I got this. Okay. And God is saying, I got this. And he doesn't need our help. He needs our obedience. Because our disobedience takes us out of his hands. See, no one can pluck us out of his hands. But we can choose to jump out anytime we want to. And he doesn't close up and say, well, you'll never come back. He stands there like this. Just waiting for you to come back to his hands. But the devil can't. We have to stop blaming the devil for our own bonehead decisions. He'd say, well, yeah, but the decisions are influenced by the devil. I used to think that. I really did. Then I got a revelation of something. That's why it's good to read other than just the King James. Read as many translations as you can. And you've heard me use this scripture just about every time I minister. Because it's true every time I minister. Jesus said he gave us authority over all the power of the enemy. The Amplified Bible says he gave us physical and mental strength and ability over all the power the enemy has. And nothing will by any means harm us. So, if you have physical and mental strength and ability over someone, what can they do to you? Okay. How can they influence? You have power over their mental ability. How can they influence you? They can't. Yes, they can say things, but we choose to listen, to consider, and to do it. Not because he's forcing us, but because we want to. We've convinced ourselves that I can do this and get away with it. I thought that I was, mommy said stay home. Me and my friend Glenn snuck out. We thought we could get away with it. We went to the drugstore. They held up the drugstore. And I'm standing there with a shotgun pointed in my face, hearing my mother's voice. Son, if you do what I say, you'll always be safe. I'm like, I don't feel safe right now. So God has this all figured out. And he's taking care of everything. Everything. But the things that we have to do in order to get to that expected end. And too often we don't want to do it. See, we have to understand God is a spirit, so he's supernatural. And when we do what he says, we're acting in the supernatural. Because we have a supernatural being asking us to do something. So that means all of us are capable of functioning in the supernatural if we're doing what God tells us to do. But we have to get to the point where we're willing to do what God says. See, there's no pill that we can take that will cause us to just lose weight. You know, not healthy anyway. You know, you may have some issues going on in your body. And you say, God, what do you want? What are you going to do about this? Join the gym and go 4 times a week. Say, what's holy about that? So you may say, stop eating potato chips and onion dip. Stop buying sodas. Drink water. He may tell us to do those things. He may tell us to do a simple thing like pray 15 minutes every day. I was going to say I don't know why, but I do know why. I had to sit down during Hour of Power because it felt like I couldn't stand up. The reason I felt like that was there something I forgot to consider. Whenever I'm up, you know how I used to say every time I minister, my blood pressure spikes?
Yeah.
I don't say that anymore. I have to make a confession because whenever I start preparing to minister, something happens to my body. It functions properly. And it got to the point where on Sundays, they're medicines that I can't take because if I take it, it drops my blood pressure too low because my body doesn't need it. It's starting to happen now on Wednesdays. Okay. And I'm studying, you know, just preparing. And I wasn't long in preparation for Hour of Power, but it dropped my blood pressure to 93 over 63. As a matter of fact, there was one med I did not take this morning because I just forgot. I'm glad I did forget. But just exposing myself to the Word of God, meditating on it, taking it in, because, you know, I read things differently when I'm preparing than if it's just for pleasure. I'm tuning myself to read like that all the time. But I had to sit down because I felt like I was going to just collapse because my blood pressure dropped too low to be standing. God's word. It's supernatural. It's supernatural. See, the process has to be equal to the desired result. See, if I wanted to be able to play an entire basketball game without getting rest, I had to practice and train like that was my goal. I had to put in the work that would be equal to the result that I wanted. So that means if a normal game is 48 minutes long, and I just wanted to play, I had to work out at least 48 minutes. At least. I did more than that because sometimes games go in overtime. And one time I played every single minute of a triple overtime game. Every single minute. I didn't drink enough water, and on the way home, driving a car with a clutch, both of my legs cramped. That was interesting. And was I? Yeah, I was saved then. Thank God. I knew a little bit of stuff. Okay, but in order to get to this place where we get and we can grab hold of everything God said, there's an unpopular revelation that we have to get. So look at your neighbor. This is one of those. Take them by the hand, look them in the eye, shake your head, take a deep breath. Say, God has a perfect equation. Man plus God equals God's blessings, health, fruitfulness, multiplication, replenishment, and restoration. You can't get away from it. It's not going to change. It's not going to go away. If you want what God wants, you'll have to do what God says, when God says, and how God says. There's no other way to get what God wants for us unless we do exactly what He says. Now, gently shake their hand and say, we can do this. Remember, God said, I know what I'm doing. I have it all planned, and my plans are to take care of you, not to abandon you, plans to give you the future that you hope for. See, an equation, by definition, it's an expression of equality between two formulas. It's a state of being equal, equivalent, or equally balanced. A situation or a problem in which a number of factors need to be considered. That's an equation. And God has a perfect equation that He wants us to consider. Man, with God added to him, makes man able to do anything. Man, without God added to him, can't do nothing. And I'm going to prove that to you in a minute. In Genesis 1:28, Again, these are all very familiar passages. But as always, every time we look at them, we see different things. God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image, and the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. God blessed them, and he said what? Be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, and subdue it, have dominion over everything. But when you think about it, every time God created something, he looked back and checked it out and said, yeah, it's good. Except when he created man. Because he made man. Man is the only one of God's creations that he made in his image and his likeness. What's there to check? We need to understand that. He breathes his breath into a lifeless form, and that lifeless form became a God container. What's there to check? So God demonstrated that a man, even a man who had no life in his body, when you add God to it, that man becomes as powerful as God is. God breathed into that man, and man became alive. He became just like God, a God container. God didn't have to check and see if man was good. He knew man was good. He knew it. But see, Satan was already on the planet because he had been kicked out of heaven. God didn't form an earth that was lifeless and formless and dark. He formed a perfect earth. But when Satan fell like lightning, earth became dark and, you know, darkness was upon the face of the deep. And so God was recreating the earth. And man was his person of choice to maintain order in this new recreated earth. Why would God need someone to maintain order? Satan was down here. So he put man, well, think about it. Why else would God need to have a being to take dominion if there wasn't anything down here that needed to have dominion over it? But Satan was on the earth, and God created man to have dominion over Satan. But the condition was man had to stay connected to God. Look at John 15. Because man could not do his part unless he stayed connected to God. And his only way to stay connected to God was through obedience. Jesus told us in John 15, first 8 verses in the Message Bible, I am the real vine, and my Father is the farmer. He cuts off every branch of me that doesn't bear grapes. And every branch that is grape bearing, he prunes back so it will bear even more. You are already pruned back by the message I have spoken. Listen to what he said. Live in me. Make your home in me just as I do in you. In the same way that a branch can't bear grapes by itself, but only by being joined to the vine, you can't bear fruit unless you are joined with me. There's a principle. When you join with Jesus, you become fruitful. There are things going on in your body. Join yourself with Jesus, and those things will leave your body because you can't do it on your own. It says, live in me, make your home in me, just as I do in you, the same way that a branch can't bear grapes by itself, but only by being joined to the vine. You can't bear fruit unless you are joined with me. I am the vine, you are the branches. When you're joined with me and I with you, the relation, intimate and organic, the harvest is sure and abundant. Separated, you can't produce a thing. Anyone who separates from me is dead wood, gathered up and thrown into the bonfire. So we have to understand that God has this it's a perfect equation. Man connected to God accomplishes anything. Man disconnected from God can't accomplish nothing. We have to make sure that we're staying connected to God, because that communications pipeline has to be working, because things are happening and we don't see them with our naked eye, but things are happening in the spirit realm, and the Holy Ghost is talking to us. If we're not connected, if we're off doing our own thing, we're not hearing. That's why, you know, I'm encouraged, don't do what I did and try and figure out all these things yourself. Don't do what I did and you study the symptoms. I had good reasons. Well, you know, you have to know your enemy. Who said so? I already know who the enemy is. It's the devil. But there's something else that I know about the devil. I've been given authority over all the power he has. So since I've been given that authority, what difference does it make what type of power he has? Whether you are in a little go-kart or a Mack truck, that police officer holds up his hand, you got to stop. Period. He doesn't go and say, well, a Mack truck coming down, I better go get an army of people. Oh, no. And he doesn't care how fast that truck is going. One of the things I don't know, do you all remember Deacon Walter Gamm? When I was a host, I'm glad none of your hosts are in here, Robert, but if some folks would come speeding, the same people would come speeding, I mean flying into the parking lot 3 minutes before service. Yeah, people walking across the lot, you know, and I'd get right in front of the car and go, stop. And Dean Gale was like, don't do that. I said, there are people there. I'm a host assigned to the parking lot. When I say stop, stop. And they would say to me, yeah, but service is in 3 minutes. That leave 10 minutes earlier next Sunday. But you can't use that as an excuse to come in this parking lot at 30 miles an hour. The sign says 5. Okay. So you knew what time it was when you decided to get out of bed. You knew what time it was when you left the house. But you're not going to come in here and put the people at risk. But Dickie Gann was like, you can't do that. Someone will hit you. I said, see, I was very new in the word. I'm like, they can't hit me. I have authority. I'm exercising my I have authority in this parking lot. I don't have authority on 87 or on 59 to walk out in the road and go like this. But I have I had authority in that parking lot. And if I was out there, nobody was going flying in, putting people at risk, because I was given authority. But what I want you to understand is, as long as we live within the equation, everything will be fine. Sickness shows up, it has to leave, because it faces you connected to God. And it doesn't see you, it sees God. It doesn't hear you, it hears God. Just see what happened in the garden, because Adam and Eve had everything, and they knew what God said, just like we know what God said. The problem is we don't consider what he has said. See, when the devil said to Eve, you know, did God surely say, you won't surely die? The devil knew, Eve knew what God said. Adam, who happened to be standing right next to her, knew what God said. But they didn't consider what God said. They considered what the enemy said. And they started pondering that in their heads. And when you start considering something and you consider it longer, that's the direction you're going to go. Because you're going to talk yourself into it making a lot of sense. And that's what you're going to do. And you're going to wind up with a lot of trouble. And the first person you're going to blame is God. Why did you let this happen? God's like, I've been telling you for 3 weeks. Don't do this. But you kept considering. Yesterday I went to Rockland Bakery and got 2 apple pockets. I'd been considering it for 2 weeks. And I started thinking about it, and yesterday I said, I'm going for it. You think I said, look, I've been good, you know, I didn't eat anything else, meaning junk food, so to speak, at least that kind of junk food. But I considered it. I thought about it. And then you drive by, and then you start smelling the aroma from the bakery. And you're like, this is a sign. Okay. And then had the nerve to get 2, not 1. Well, you know, they're not giant. See how easy it is to justify stuff? No, I didn't even know, because I knew I had already called her and asked her if she wanted something. But see, she had her own thing. She ate a pack and a half of Tate's chocolate chip cookies. So I guess we were attacked by sugar last night. But Adam and Eve, they considered what the devil said, what the devil was saying to them. They considered it. Now, what should have happened, I like the way that verse could have read, was that when the woman saw that the tree was good for the for food and pleasing to the eye, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she considered what God said and told the serpent to leave the garden. Because both of them had authority to do that. But if you're going to consider what God said, you have to be connected to him. Because if you're not connected to him, you can back away. See, if Ken and I are connected, Ken, can I borrow you for a second? This is link arms. If I'm going to consider what he says, I'm connected to him. If I'm over there somewhere, I could think about what he said. But now he's here. We're connected together. I got to consider what he says. And it's the same way, folks, when sickness attacks your body, are we going to consider what the sickness is? Or we could consider what God says? If we're considering the sickness, it's because we've connected ourselves to it. You say, well, why would anybody connect themselves to sickness? You believe it's hype. You talk to people that, yeah, it happened to my great-great-grandmother. Yes, this stuff runs in my family. Do you have anybody in your family that had the same thing? Say, yeah, well, you know, it runs in family like that. Like, oh, I didn't know that. And you're connecting yourself to it. And then you're wondering why it won't go away. I say, go sit down. I'm connected to it. It can't go anywhere. I have to let it go and reconnect myself to God and start considering what he has said about this invader. And then do what he says about this invader. I have success. It's really that simple. We make it hard. Because there are 2 words that get in the way. Want to. And actually, it's 3 words that get in the way. Don't want to. Because that's what it is. We hear God's voice, let's look at it this way. A lot of times we'll use the excuse that we're operating in faith as a reason to be disobedient to what God said. Well, how can you use the excuse of operating in faith? I figured you'd like that one. Like Ricky Ricardo said, let me explain. Okay. There was something happening. God said to me and Pastor Ed, there was something that he told us that he wanted, that we needed to do. It was hard. You know, I'm not at liberty to tell you why it was hard, but it was hard. We procrastinated. We didn't do it. We didn't do it. We know it. Yeah, this just can't do. We just believe everything's going to work out. God gave us instructions. We're going to use our faith to go against God's instructions. It don't work. And it got to the point where we had no choice but to do what he said. The minute we did what he said, different avenues started opening up. Because see, what happens, folks, it's like these chairs are a barrier. This is what God told us to do. You have to remove these chairs. We like these chairs. They fit in. They've been here a long time. We have an affinity for them. We can believe God that he'll do something, he'll make another way. No, he said, move these chairs. So we had to move the chairs. And when we moved the chairs, we were able to move forward a little further. But if we don't move the chair, we're stuck. But we're saying, we believe this is going to turn around, and I don't have to move the chair. God says, I need you to change your diet. I believe, I receive my healing. Change the diet. I believe everything that I eat, if I bless it, I'm fine. Change the diet. I believe I have power over all the power of the enemy. I walk by faith, not by sight. Yeah, I see in the natural look like I gained 10 pounds, but my father, okay. See, we tell ourselves we're using faith, but really what we're trying to do is it's con God. And we get even worse. We say, hey, God said without faith it's impossible to please him. I'm going to please God. Then do what he said. Okay. Because it takes faith to please God. So if you want to operate in faith, do what God said, because that's the only thing that's going to work for you. But we do that. We do these things, and we say, well, no, I'm not taking the medicine. I'm operating in faith. But God said, take it. Well, why do I have to take it? I don't know. I'm not God. I didn't tell you to take it. He did. So ask him. No, in the Old Testament, they didn't take any medicine. Okay. Well, let's see. Do we want to go back there? And you have to get rid of your iPads, your television sets, your CD players, you know, and all these other things that kept you distracted, you know, that they didn't have. But bottom line is, what did God tell you to do? And are you doing it? If you're not doing it, you have disconnected. You have changed the equation. And when you change the equation, you change the results. It's just that simple. Like I said, it's unpopular, it's uncomfortable, but it's the truth. If we want what God promised, we have to do what God said. And we have to do it the way he said and when he said. We can't be like Pharaoh. When do you want these frogs to go? Tomorrow. No, God wants us to consider what he said today, because when we disconnect, remember in the garden after Adam and Eve sinned, it said they knew they were naked. How come they couldn't see when they were naked all along? How come they didn't see that? And if they did see it, how come it wasn't so distasteful to them? Would they feel like they had to cover themselves and hide? Because the glory of God left them. And I believe, the Bible doesn't talk about it, but I believe when I look at the animal kingdom, God didn't create some animals to be predators and other animals to be prey. He didn't do that. There are some insects and animals. I mean, there's this fish. Sticks his tongue out. It looks exactly like a worm. He wiggles it around for another fish to come in. And as soon as it gets close enough, he eats it. I mean, there are insects that imitate the mating sound of other insects. Why? To draw them in. And when they land, they eat them. And you want me to believe God created that deception? Where did it come from? When Adam and Eve sinned and gave dominion over to the devil, some of creation took on the devil's personalities, and some didn't. Some didn't. Adam and Eve, when they sinned, they no longer looked like God or sounded like God. And I say this jokingly, but it probably happened. Yeah, I see lions walking around like, who's that? I don't know. I don't recognize them anymore. Maybe they're food. Let's see how they taste. Because they had disconnected. They had taken God out of the equation and put something else in the equation. Desire. Preference. See, the man plus preference doesn't equal God's blessings. Man plus God equals his blessings. But when we start adding these other things to the equation, as I said earlier, it changes the results because you've changed the equation. The minute we make a choice to disconnect from God, it's as if we were no longer made in his image and after his likeness. Because we're talking and acting differently. And when that happens, we can fall victim to the enemy stuff because we no longer, let me say it this way, probably make more sense. When a destroyer came to kill the firstborn of Egypt, God gave instructions. Short version, put blood on the doorposts and lentils. He didn't ask you if you like blood. He didn't ask you if, oh, it's such a nice little lamb. I can't kill this. No, he didn't ask you about, kill it. Put the blood on the doorposts and lentils. And stay inside. He didn't say if you go outside, sprinkle blood on you. He said, stay inside. When a destroyer came, he didn't see you. What did he see? He saw the blood and he passed over. When we stay connected to God, it's like the blood on the doorposts and lentils. We disconnect, it's like we stepped outside. When you step outside, anything that's going on outside is subject to happen to you. Born again, spirit-filled, child of God, in mortal danger because you're not obedient to what God said. And no, if If we said to you, look, don't go out on Route 59 and play in the street. Stay on the sidewalk. You make a choice to go out in the street, and you get hit by a truck. We didn't send the truck down there to hit you, but we know that's where trucks are. That's where trucks are permitted to operate. We're permitted to operate on the sidewalk, and we're supposed to cross the street at crosswalks. That doesn't say, one of the programs, I like some reality. I don't like the, I don't know how to describe those reality programs. I like Parking Wars, Chopped, like those kind. I like, because especially Parking Wars, because I'm just fascinated by the attitudes of people. There's a scene, there's a part of the show where they're in the impound lot. Or even if they get a ticket, they're parked next to a fire hydrant, and they're arguing, I was only there 5 minutes. Sign doesn't say you can park for 5 minutes. Or their car gets towed, and they say, I didn't know I got towed. Liar, liar, pants on fire. You got 3 notices, 2 certified notices, and a third notice stating that your car is subject to be booted that you ignored. Well, we do the same thing as Christians. God gives us his word that lets us know what's going to happen. It gives us the warning. It gives us the notice. We disregard it. And we walk right smack into something, and then we get upset. Don't get upset. Just be more mindful to consider what God has said instead of inserting something else into God's perfect equation. Because the equation is perfect. When I say consider, knowing just means you're aware of it. You have knowledge of it. But when you consider something, you're thinking very carefully about it in order to make a choice. You're weighing the pros and cons of it. You're giving it regard. You're making allowance for it. You're giving it the attention that it's due. You're saying this is something that's important. I need to really think about this before I do it. We're not doing that with God's word. Or maybe I should say we need to be doing that with God's word. We're very good at doing it with circumstances. But we're not as adept at doing it with God's word. And that's why we find ourselves in some of the fixes we're in, especially when it comes to our health. There's sometimes it's like a panic that comes in, especially if it's something that the world considers diabolical. You know, if you go to the doctor and the doctor says, oh, you just have a cold, you'll be fine. Oh, we don't think anything of it. We don't even consider God, what God said about it. Why? Because it's only a cold. It'll be gone in a few days. Oh, so you want to be sick for 2 days. No, but that's the attitude we have as a people. But let the doctor not say you have cancer. Let him just suggest, maybe you need to go and have a CAT scan. Why? Okay, what's going on? You know, do you think there's a lump or something? No, we just want to go. It's good to just rule these things out. So you do the CAT scan that comes back. Maybe you should do an MRI. Say it this way. I had a CAT scan done. We're doing an abdominal CAT scan. And I don't know what they saw. But the CAT scan report says you should have an MRI with contrast if biliary disease is suspected. I didn't know what biliary disease was. So I didn't leave it alone. Pancreatic cancer. And my doctor says, well, since they put that in the report, I'll schedule you for a scan. I didn't hear that. I heard, since it's in the report, you may have it. And I'm thinking, and then the doctor, he says to me, don't, if it comes back negative, the two places I could send you to, you know, and it just snip, and it'll be fine. I said, the one thing I knew about pancreatic cancer, there was no cure. And I said to him, I said, but I thought there was no cure for that. Well, no. I said, what do you mean, well? And I could feel myself breaking out into a cold sweat. And my mind is saying, you're going to die. And I'd never looked up pancreatic cancer till that point. But it says, well, you're going to die, and it's going to be a horrible death. And the thought was coming, why is this happening? Then a very short time later, as I was leaving his office, I figured I wanted to take the steps instead of the elevator. I walked down the steps, and I'm like, why are you thinking this? And I had to speak it out of my mind. And then I started laughing about it. And then it was, don't go get the scan. You know you don't have it. I'm like, right, that's why I can go get the scan and let them prove to my doctor that I don't have it. And I went and got the scan. That's why you've heard me tell you, go get your physicals. If they say get a scan, get a scan. Get tested. Why? You want to find out when that sucker is this big. It's easier to handle. You don't want to wait till it's full grown, you know. But it takes faith to do that. Real faith, not that scared faith that says, I'm going to walk in faith, I'm not going to go. Really? Then how come you're not sleeping at night? If you really think you're in faith and you don't have this dreaded disease, why can't you sleep? Why is your hair falling out? That's not why mine fell out, right? But those are the things you need to think about when you consider God. God said, he will not allow any of these diseases to come upon me if I obey his commandments, if I stick to the equation. So you know what? I'm sticking to the equation. It's that simple. It's that simple. He said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, not our own sight, do what's right in his sight, and give ear to his commandments, means listen and do what he says, and keep all of his statutes, stay within all of his boundaries, I'll put none of these diseases, or I'll allow none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians. Because I'm the Lord that healeth thee. So if sickness has overtaken you, you just need to ask yourself a question. Am I doing what God told me to do? Period. And if the answer is no, fix it. That's all. Just fix it. That doesn't mean that you're doomed, I should have listened. Just fix it. In other words, go back into the house that's covered with the blood. Okay? Don't find out, oh, I'm not supposed to be out here, and then you stay out there anyway. Go back. It's never too late to go back. I don't care what it is. I know people who was healed stage 4 cancer. One of our deacons' mother was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer, with end stage. I guess that's worse than 4 stage. I don't know. She's still alive. The doctors that diagnosed her are dead. This was years. All the doctors died. She's still alive. Okay. See, because when you decide to work the equation, nobody can change it on you. The only one that can change the equation is you. Nobody else has the ability to change that equation. How do I know that? Because the Bible says nothing can separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. And it goes on to list all the things that cannot separate us. It says we were counted as sheep for the slaughter. It says, nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. So all we have to do is stay connected. Stick with the equation. God plus man equals God's blessings, health, fruitfulness, multiplication, replenishment, and restoration. God plus man equals God's blessings, health, fruitfulness, multiplication, replenishment, and restoration. So you want perfect health? You want your health restored? Go back to the equation and stick with it. I'm done. That's God's perfect equation.